Well, Anna Marie, we have been working through all different types of theology, and some of this is, it's interesting when I get talking with you, I get kind of excited about the fact that you don't just stay in one of the theological sciences. You will move very easily from hamartiology, which is sin, but you want to right away go, yeah, but what does that have to do? And you'll bring us to theology proper with God. And then you always want to bring up Christ. And then you always want to bring up the Holy Spirit. And these are all good things. And today we're starting with some soteriology to know what we're, our new birth is like. And you want to talk a little bit about identity. But let me read the scripture that you pointed to. Actually, I'll read it in context in Ephesians 2, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It says in chapter 2 of Ephesians, verses 8 and 9, and then I'll just lead into verse 10 and let you start talking about who am I? What's this with identity? But it says, God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. And then he goes right into verse 10. He says, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. So, you know, we've talked about the Holy Spirit. We've talked about Christ. We've talked about how does God view me? Now we're asking another question. That's who am I? Why do you think that's an important question to answer?
Well, it is a very difficult question to answer if you start looking for who you are in the world around you, or you look within and try to analyze yourself and see who you are. The reason that who I am is so important is because I have a purpose and I have a destiny, which we will talk perhaps in the future, well, maybe even today a little bit. What is our purpose and what is our destiny? But if I am not secure in who I am, I will never fulfill my purpose or my destiny, nor even live I would consider a subnormal life.
Sure.
Rather than the resurrected life. Mm. Our purpose and our destiny is to live the resurrected life. Mm. And what that looks like, we will have to really take a look at and review. But let's look at what the scripture says first, because God tells us who we are. So we don't have to ask anyone, who am I, Mark?
Or I'm trying to find myself, and all those things that people seem to,
you know, and wonder. Of course, from preschool to PhD degrees, we have educators that constantly are defining who we are. And then we have the media constantly defining who we are. But we cannot know who we are apart from God. So here's the dilemma first. God knows who I am, and God tells me who I am. Mm. Now, I can hear it, or I can not want to hear it.
Right.
And go searching everywhere for who I am. Now, I need to know who I am because I have a purpose. Mm. And I have a destiny. So how am I going to fulfill this purpose? The scriptures you just read said that God has prepared before the foundation of the world good works for me to do. Mm. Well, how do I even know what is a good work? How do I know what I have to do? So it's critical that I know who I am so that I can fulfill that. Now, I cannot know me until I know God. Because I am created in his image and his likeness. So, who am I? Well, I am created in the likeness of God. And I'm created in the image of God. So, what's God like? I got to know what God is like.
Right.
In order to know what I'm like. Well, it's nice for you to tell me that I'm creating the image of God, but when I look at Anna Marie, you know, that image is very blurred. I'm not clear. Well, why is it that I'm not clear who God is? Because he's invisible. I mean, how well can you know a person who is invisible? We try to see him. We can. We try to figure him out. We try to follow his ways, and we try to know him and his ways. You know, the scripture says sometimes they're beyond finding out, and yet he's a revealing God. He wants us to know him.
Right.
So in order, so he solved the problem when he came in the flesh. He said, okay, I understand that you can't see me. And I understand it's difficult for you to know me. And therefore, I see you're struggling with knowing who you are. And therefore, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit had a conversation and decided that God was going to come in the flesh and be human without stop being God. And we call that the incarnation. And we celebrated at Christmas. We celebrated his resurrection life at Easter. So we know that God came in the flesh. We know that Jesus is God. So the Word that in the beginning created everything, where from Genesis, before Genesis 1, or in all the way through, you know, when Christ was born, the Word was the Word. It was the Word of God, and then the Word became flesh. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is amazing. So God, who is incredibly holy and perfect and just and loving and kind, decided he wanted to live in human man. That's like, how, and it pleased him to do that.
Yeah.
It kind of, why? So that I could see him. So that I could know him. Mm-hmm. So now I have Jesus to look at. And Hebrews tells us that Jesus is the exact radiance and imprint of God. It says that in Hebrews 1, verse 3, I believe. And so, as a matter of fact, maybe we'll take a quick look at it, because it's such a critical verse to me, because it leads me. I can leave like, well, what about David and what about what Moses did and all the works? How can I do what they did? I mean, it leads me right to who I'm supposed to be focusing on now. And Hebrews, the writer says, long ago, okay, we can say in the Old Testament, or in many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. Nice people. Some not so good. Mm-hmm. Some good. But they were man. They were human.
Right.
They made errors. But in these last days, which is right now when I'm living. So I want to get this right and clear. He has spoken to us by his Son. So now my focus is just shifted. Where, you know, growing up in the church, you know, I mean, I grew up with all the heroes of the Bible and the Bible stories galore. And I mean, you know, and so I was looking for role model and who am I going to be like? Well, surely since I'm a female, I had less to choose from. I would have to be like Deborah or Esther or, but no, it's Jesus Jesus demonstrates God to me. And when I look at Jesus, I will see God. And when I look at Jesus, I will also see me, because I am created in God's image and in God's likeness. So Hebrews continues to say that he has spoken us by his Son. So now we're narrowing the focus. We're looking at Jesus, whom he appointed the heir of all things, lest we think, okay, God is number one, the Son is number two. No, the Son is the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. So this is the Word in Genesis 1:1. And he is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. So not only did he create me, but he upholds me. Now, I'm not the universe, but I am part of what he upholds. He upholds the solar system, the galaxies. He upholds the nations. He upholds the human heart. He sustains us. He didn't just create us and say,
"Yeah,
you're on your own there." You know, we're not. We're not on our own, and we're not alone. So the incarnation is continues. So God became flesh in Jesus. Then Jesus included us in his death, burial, and resurrection.
Yeah.
And so we are in him. God put us in Christ, the scripture says. Mm-hmm. And so the mystery of the New Testament, of the New Covenant, is this. Paul says, Christ in us, the hope of glory.
Right.
So I looked at Jesus, because now Hebrews told us the focus should be Jesus, right?
Right, right.
So did Jesus have need to know his identity? Was Jesus ever tested with his identity? Well, when we look at, you know, Jesus' encounter, you know, with the devil, whether it was visible devil, whether it was invisible, whether it was out loud voices talking to him, whether it was voices in his head, just like we have.
Sure.
And we have to sort out, is this my thinking? Is this my imagination? Is this God speaking? Or is this an enemy speaking,
right,
an evil influence? But Jesus was tested in his identity. Immediately after the heaven opened, and the voice said, "This is my beloved son." Jesus needed to know his identity. And so then the temptation was, if you are the Son of God.
Yes.
If you are who you say you are, then go ahead and do this.
Mm-hmm.
And go ahead and do this. We need to know that we don't do things because an evil influence or a foreign influence, anyone besides God, tells us to do them. We do them because we are already created to do good works, you know, through Christ. So if we look at John records this for us, that Jesus was able to do anything. But he was man with the Holy Spirit living in him, just like us. And he came to face the cross. How can a human being face the cross,
yeah,
and go through the betrayal, the brutality that he experienced? Totally, the demonstration of evil on the earth was all lashed out on Jesus. How could he do that? How can he face that with such assurance that he tells his disciples, you know, this is what I'm going to do. This is what is going to happen. This is where I'm, you know, just lost the place where I want to be. Let's see if I can find it. This is what's going to happen. I'm going to be leaving you. Don't be sad. I'm going to come back. And when I come back, I'll say, the Holy Spirit is coming.
Yeah.
And so forth. I'm looking actually where Jesus clearly tells us what his identity is and moves in that direction. It's in John 13.
Okay.
Close.
Yeah.
John 13. It's right.
Washing feet.
Yeah, it's right by the washing feet one.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so this is where I saw it so clearly that it just really strengthened me and it's as to who I am and that Jesus really needed to know this as well. So it says, now before the feast of the Passover, so we are approaching the death here.
Mm-hmm.
During supper, the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. So, it hadn't happened yet, but it was about to. So he was facing this next. It says, Jesus, knowing. And that's what I need to know. What did Jesus know? No. He knew that the Father had given all things into his hands. Well, Has God given all things into my hands? This is what it says that Jesus knew, that God had given all things into his hands. Well, God gave me some things.
Right.
We go back to Genesis. This is where we find our purpose. Right?
Right.
He said, God blessed them, and he said, be fruitful, multiply,
mm-hmm.
replenish the earth, subdue it, and rule over every living thing. Mm-hmm. Right? That's how.
Yes, definitely.
And then Jesus, you know, specifies it close, a little bit clearer perhaps, when he says, go into the nations, teach the gospel.
Right.
Heal
right.
the sick. Raise the dead. Cast out demons.
Yeah.
You know, freely you've been given, freely give. Love your brother. You know. And then he challenged us and says, and greater works than these you will do.
Yeah, that's amazing.
So it's like, I can't do this. I go, I can't do this.
Right.
You know, I totally give up my hands, but Jesus is my example. Not only my example, but he's my exact replica of God
right.
in the flesh.
Right.
So I see him knowing that if I had given all things into his hands, so God gave me, told me what to do, and gave me the ability to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that he had come from God. Okay, so where did he come from?
He came from God.
Do I need to know where I come from?
Definitely.
But if my focus is on my natural birth.
Right. Like what? When you say my focus being on my natural birth.
Well, what if I'm focused on, I wasn't born with a lot of gifts.
Mm.
I wasn't born with a lot of talents. I was born in Italy after World War II during the devastations, you know. We were poor, poor, poor. We didn't know the next meal.
Yeah.
We were not alone in this. This is all I saw.
Yeah.
It wasn't America. I mean, when I came to America at age 13, I thought, what kind of world is this?
Right.
You could buy anything.
Yeah.
You could go to the 5 and 10 and buy for 5 cents whatever you want. There's a store that has everything. That's impossible. So if we focus on our natural birth.
Yeah, what if I lost my father? What if I am adopted? What if I'm all those.
What if I don't know who my dad is?
Mm.
What if my mom gave birth to me from rape?
Mm.
What if my mom couldn't take care of me and she sent me to an orphanage, which my mom did for a couple of years? What if my mom gave me for adoption? What if my adoptive family wasn't nice?
Mm.
What if I was put in a foster home? What if I didn't have two parents, where a parent died?
Yeah.
See, our natural, we were not born by the will of man.
Yeah. And even, I think we talked about this earlier, even if everything went right by the world standards, what if my parents loved each other and stayed together
mm-hmm.
and I had everything, I might have even rebelled against that.
Yeah, and say, I don't want to be in this house.
Yeah.
It's the prodigal son.
Yeah.
Had everything. The father gave had everything. The father even gave him his inheritance ahead of time.
Yeah, amazing.
You know? So then our natural birth is our natural birth. But we have a spiritual birth.
Amen.
We came from God, and we're going to go back to God. And this is why Jesus could do what he did. Because it says, Jesus knowing that the Father had given all things into him, he had come from God and was going back to God. That's our destiny. We're here temporarily.
Right.
The natural life is temporarily.
Yeah.
But in this life, we get to live with Christ in us, demonstrating his love, you know, his glory. So he rose from the supper, and he laid aside his garments. It almost speaks like he rose and he laid aside all the God authority and power, and he served the disciples. So the point that Peter said, don't, you can't do this.
Yeah.
Don't wash my feet. Yeah. Knowing that, and that's not the hardest thing to do. I mean, this is just nothing compared to, you know, a few verses later, he's facing the governments and he's facing the brutality and violence of the day. How could he face that if he didn't know that God was going to resurrect him?
Yeah.
And so, we are come from God. We were born by the will of God, John 1:14 says, or John 1:13-14 says, the word became flesh. We were born out of God's will. God wanted Mark. God wanted you. When you were born, at the time that you were born to the parents, you were born. God ordained that.
Yeah.
And then God said, you are my creation. You have my spirit in you. Now I want you to rule your life. You can do this.
Yeah.
God is confident that you can live your life because he's in you.
Right.
What would make God so confident?
Yeah, it has nothing to do with me. And it's he's confident in what he can do in me. Yeah.
He's confident that he is living in you and he's guiding you and directing you. And so if we go, you know, we'll go, let's go full circle and we go back to Psalm 139 where, you know, these are God's thoughts concerning you. Why can God have these thoughts concerning us? Because he lives in us. And at the very end of the psalm, it says, well, let's just review it a little bit. It says that you have known me. God knows Anna Marie, Mark, every single human being in the world. Not one human being escapes him. None. And we know that, and you know, we know that this incredible message that we come from God, our Christ lives in us, was marred by the fall. This is why we get off track. But God keeps telling us, this I did before the foundation of the world. He keeps on bringing us to the before the foundation of the world. You were loved, you were wanted, you were created, and I'm living in you.
Amen.
But then when the fall came, it was like man changed. That knowing became distorted. All of a sudden, men hid. Man was ashamed. Man felt guilty. And man felt separated. And the mind of man changed. The mind of man no longer could see. Because I know it says the eyes of them were opened. And you would think that the eyes were open to see God, but no. Their eyes were already open to see God. They walked and talked with him. Now their eyes were opened and they could see the mixture of good and evil.
Yeah.
And now they had to sort it out.
Yeah.
They had to figure out, who is this God and
right.
Who am I? And they had to figure it out. You know, and trying to figure that out by yourself without God, it is impossible. I mean, the best description is they sewed fig leaves and they covered themselves.
Yeah.
This is man's attempt to figure out life. I'm going to try and protect myself best I can and try to keep from hurting, from anybody hurting me. And so in order to do that, that means I have to hurt others. So that took Jesus to the cross.
Right.
Jesus at the cross ended the violence once and for all.
Mm.
All the sacrifices ended. He was the one that ended the animal violence too.
Mm. That's
a good point. So this is who we're created like. And he lives in us. So do I believe that Christ lives in me? Or do I not believe that?
Right. And that would affect identity.
That makes all the difference. So let's look at Ephesians, which I call the church at Ephesians, the grown-up church.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I want to be. I just want to be all grown up spiritually. I don't want to be a child anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so this tiny little book that whose pastor was Timothy. He's got the most amazing, just the most amazing chapters and words that Jesus spoke. And it says, let's start with verse 3, it said, blessed be the God and Father. Now the word blessed, I understand that word in the original Greek or Hebrew means adored.
Mm-hmm. It says all praise to God in my translation.
Yeah. So. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ who has blessed us in Christ. So we were in Christ with every spiritual blessing
mm-hmm.
In the heavenlies. I know some translations don't have places, and some translations put it in.
It says realms.
Realms.
So, yeah.
Even as he chose us, so he blessed me. He chose me before the foundation of the world. Before the foundation of the world. So the fall did not separate me from God. It twisted things. It made me question God. It made me want to know, who are you? And what am I supposed to do? It made me go hiding. It made me feel guilty. It made me think that I was alone and abandoned. But before the foundation of the world, God chose us that we should be holy and blameless before him. And how can we be holy and blameless? Because Christ lives in us. Mm-hmm. In love. We were born in love. He predestined us for adoption of sons. And that adoption, I understand that in the Middle East culture, that adoption is coming of age.
Mm-hmm.
So he wants us to grow up and to know our inheritance as sons through Jesus Christ. All in Christ, all through Christ, according to the purpose of his will. This is what he willed. To the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us. He has blessed us in the Beloved. It's all in Jesus, through Jesus, and nothing is apart from Jesus. And he lives in us, and so the incarnation continues. So I have a decision to make. God already made the decision for me. I was created by him. I was born out of his will. He lives in me. I have an origin. I have a purpose. I have a destiny. That's what he planned before the foundation of the world. Now, if I believe this, I live in it. But if I refuse to believe it, oh, it's just too good to be true. Well, the gospel is too good to be true.
Mm.
It's all good. Then I can live the life that he ordained for me before I was born. It's a great God, isn't it?
It is.
A great Father.
It is.